station. This is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Houston Station, yes, I am.
CBS News, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is CBS News Radio at Kennedy Space Center. How do you hear me?
Is this Bill? I've got you loud and clear.
Well, actually, it's Peter King, but Bill Harwood is with me, and we both have questions for you this morning. Dan, first of all, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. The holiday tomorrow, we're wondering how you'll celebrate, what you'll eat, and do you even have time to enjoy a holiday this early in your mission?
Peter, good morning to you, too. Yeah, tomorrow it's going to be a day off for us. It'll be a holiday, and we'll get a chance to celebrate with our families, at least remotely, from Space Station. For myself, I've got some turkey, some cranberry dressing, stuffing, all of the standard traditional fare for a Thanksgiving meal already lined up and ready to go. And we've got enough for Anton and Anatoly and I, all three, to share.
The three of you have really had kind of a rush 10 days, really hitting the ground running. How's the early going been, and what's at the top of your to-do list right now?
Well, it actually has been really busy. It's been busy for the 2 months actually leading up to launch too, Peter. We had a whirlwind of a handover with Mike, Sergey, and Satoshi before we saw them off on their way back home yesterday. We basically, as quickly as possible, tried to learn our way around the space station from a system standpoint, payloads and all the rest. And we've hardly even had a chance to unpack our things and get settled into our crew quarters. So I guess for us right now, for tomorrow, for the holiday, that's probably pretty high on the list of priorities, is just complete the moving in process, if you will.
Hey, Dan, it's Bill Harwood. We were all mightily impressed to watch you take off in what looked like a blizzard the other day. That's quite an all-weather machine the Russians have. What was launch like? How was, from a shuttle guy's perspective, what was it like riding uphill in a Soyuz?
Yeah, no, great question, Bill. To me, actually, the sensations of the ride uphill were pretty much the same. I think the acceleration profiles very similar to what the shuttle is. We all have to go from 0 to 17,500 miles an hour in about 9 minutes or so, and that's pretty much the same. The accommodations are a little bit more cozy, I guess I'd put it. So it's a lot smaller inside, but apart from that, the sensations were pretty much the same. Getting into the rocket was a little bit different, as you mentioned, with the snow. And we also had a lot of fog that's kind of caused by the supercooled propellant that's in the rocket, basically chilling down the air. So it was basically a bucket brigade of the very specialists and strap-in crews and Russian space agency management that kind of led us in our snowsuits. I think you might have seen those as well, to the ladder to make our way up to the elevator and on board. And there was basically two arms length worth of visibility on the way in. But once you got inside, it was just like you trained in the sim, and actually very neat.
Very cool. You know, I know with the short handover, you guys are still getting your space legs, I guess. But one question I had looking down the road, I'd seen a reference earlier about main bus switching unit number one having some difficulties, and that might be something you end up having to go outside and do something about. What's the status of MBSU-1 and what might be on your plate early next year?
Yeah, well, right now MBSU-1 is still working from the standpoint of passing power from all the from the upstream power source, that being the solar arrays, down to the downstream load. So it's doing its job in passing power, but it's not talking to the computers that control it right now. So it's what we call a loss of comm situation right now. But it's functioning and doing all the things it needs to keep all the loads working. As a precaution, we've got a jumper cable that we've installed that'll protect us from the MBSU failing outright and potentially losing some critical loads inside the space station. We also have another jumper that'll protect us from a similar failure, causing us to lose some of our external cooling. So that one's in standby, but the jumper to protect all the internal loads, that's in place. Should it actually fail entirely, then that'd be a reason to go outside and repair it, I think. So, but right now, Right now, it seems to be doing its job okay.
And would you be the one that would go outside? Would it be, I'm assuming it would be you, but I'm not sure about that, if it happened early next year.
If it lasted, if it worked okay through the end of our expedition, then we would probably want to defer that as long as possible and put it on the next planned USEVA, for example, USEVA 18. If it fails between now and the end of our expedition, then likely what we would do is I'd go outside either with Andre Kuipers or with Don Pettit, and the other of the two of them, the other of the two of them would probably either do arm support from a camera and overall viewing standpoint, or potentially, if it was complicated arm operations, to the degree that one of the two EVA crew members needed to be in a foot restraint mounted on the arm, probably I think Don would be inside flying the arm for that operation.
Dan, you've got the daily double of holidays that you'll be missing here on Earth, not just Thanksgiving, but Christmas, and add New Year's to that. How tough is it to be away from your family? And I'm wondering if on that last progress that came up, if you've got Christmas packages that are on there waiting for you.
No, I sure do, Peter. Actually, I had a Halloween package and a Thanksgiving package, and then I've got, I haven't opened that one yet. I'm not allowed to until tomorrow morning. And there's also a Christmas package. And we actually got some things for all three of us for Christmas, Anton, Anatoly, and I. It's always tough being away from your family, and that's one aspect of spaceflight, and it's been that way for a long time. And for crews that do long duration, you're away for a considerable period of time. During the training leading up to launch, the 2 years or 2.5 years, you also spend an awful long time away from family, on the road and so forth. And in a kind of an interesting sense, now that I've got on board Space Station, I actually have a little bit better communication with the family right now. I almost feel like I'm with them to a greater extent than I would be if I was overseas, for example, in Star City or in Europe or Japan. And that's because we've got a great capability on board to video conference. So at the very least, a couple of times a week, one time a week for sure, and this week definitely tomorrow as well, I'll have a two-way video conference with the family. And then they can watch me to the degree that it's not too boring for them. They can watch me almost any time on ISS Live or on the NASA TV website. So they're always watching me. I get a chance to see them. I can call them a couple of times a day without almost any problem at all. And that's really neat. So they feel like they're with me.
You know, here at KSC, we're awaiting another launch, the Mars Science Lab and Curiosity rover on Saturday morning. You're going to be home, of course, by the time it lands on Mars. But I'm wondering, what about this upcoming mission excites you?
Well, I think all the Mars missions are fantastic. That, in my opinion, is our ultimate goal in the next couple of decades for human spaceflight, is to go to Mars. It's the most Earth-like planet in the solar system. It's a planet that many millions, billions of years ago was probably very similar to Earth and very wet. And it could very well be that there's evidence of life and potentially even current life, albeit in a very simple form, buried in the soil of Mars. So as we've gradually gone from Viking to the Spirit and Opportunity rovers to now Mars Science Laboratory, we have more and more capability to do actually in situ analysis with essentially a laboratory that can analyze samples and potentially, if not give us direct indication that there's life, give us some very strong clues. And it's a great way to pave the future flights, the future human flights that I think are destined to go there.
And Dan, as we close out, we did have a request from a Twitter follower who wants to know when you'll start tweeting, and hopefully it'll be soon when things settle down. Have a great Thanksgiving, and from Bill and I hope you have a very safe mission, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Peter, Bill, it was great to have you on board. Great talking with you. And that's on my list of things to do. In all the hectic time leading up to launch and the time we've had on board so far, I haven't been able to keep up with that, but I will. You folks take care. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And you too. Thank you again.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes the event.
And thank you, CBS News station. Please stand by while we reconfigure video and audio communications.